Amen. Before we get started here in Colossians chapter 2, I want to ask you tonight, how many need God's miracle-working power to work in your life? Amen. Let me see your hand. Amen. Let me lift them high. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your miracle-working power would be active here now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said if two touch anything, it shall be done. So, Lord, perform your word with signs following, Lord, in each individual's life. Now, whatever area you need to touch and begin to ask him, whether it's for yourself or a family member, somebody you know, begin to speak that area. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring the miracle. Bring the victory. Lord, your touch upon in the name of Jesus. We come against every work of the enemy. Satan, you have no hold, nor authority to operate here. In the name of Jesus, there's freedom in the Spirit. There's freedom to serve. There's freedom for the power to be released and bring change in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've gathered, Lord God, for an encounter with you. And you said if we'd gather, you'd be in our midst. So, Lord, this is an encounter time with the King. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, worthy, Lord God. Worthy, Lord God. We celebrate you, Lord, today. Worthy is the Lamb. We give you glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the mighty God, the mighty King, the mighty Savior, the mighty Lord. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you, Almighty God. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to your name. Hallelujah. Set free tonight in Jesus' name. Any oppression go in Jesus' name. Any demonic activity, your power is broken in the name of Jesus. What's been hindered, Lord God, release now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, worthy Jesus. Worthy, Lord God. We celebrate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Just make a joyful noise unto your King. We sing unto you a new song, O God. We bless you, Lord Jesus, tonight. We bless you, Lord. We lift you up, Lord Jesus. Lord, in every measure, hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord God. We celebrate you, hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to be silent in these last days. We're going to praise your name, O God. For you are worthy, worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He is a good God. How many know Scripture is clear? He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? And we need to be mindful of the words we speak. That the words have power. I mean, it's what we share here this evening are words. And we have fellowship, true? I mean, as you had conversation today, you use those things, and all those things are part of the kingdom. When it comes to the spiritual side, it matters what we speak. We can bring ourselves into some depression. We can bring ourselves into some defeat. But we can speak the victory. How many is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. How many knows your testimony is important? He's done his part. I need to do my part. Oh, come on. How many knows you get your life right? He's done that work, but you accept it and then you speak those things. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. I want us to begin to come against every work of the enemy. There are some people that need freedom in the spirit. I mean, you can bring down strongholds. I said you can bring down strongholds. We need to do it as a church, members in particular. If there's an area that isn't moving, the area isn't changing, need to couple some fasting and prayer in that area. Come on. I mean, being benevolent, the Lord will open up doors. Colossians chapter 2, you there? Amen. We're going to start with Colossians 2, verse 1. My Bible's wearing out here. It's time to get a new one. Say, God's good. Amen. Now, in the book of Colossians, there's going to be a quick overview. I'm going to give it to you. In chapters 2, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul is concerned for the church of Colossae. When we get to verses 4 through 7, he cautions them against false teachers amongst the Jews. When we get to verses 8 through 12, he cautions them against the Gentile philosophies. I mean, is that when we get farther in verse 13 through 15, he represents the privileges of the Christian. And when we finish it up in this portion, we probably won't get that far. In verse 16 through 33, he concludes another caution against the Judaism, the teachers, and those who would introduce worship of angels. When we get to chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, For what I knew, how many knows that what we know? For I know there's great conflict I have for you, and to them at Laodicea, and as many as not seen my face in the flesh. The Apostle Paul's concern for the church. He's saying, listen to me, I have great conflict for you. What it means is that I have agony in my spirit, in my heart, for you as a church. Because anytime truth is being preached, the enemy will try to bring in false doctrine. And one of the things the Apostle Paul always wanted to keep clear was that it needs to have sound teaching. Because without sound teaching, you can be led astray. Say amen. Notice he says, I have great conflict for you. He's speaking this here. That word conflict in King James is this. It's only used in James 3 verse 5. It talks about the tongue. It's a little member, but boasts great things. It can bring to fire even a small area. These two words come together in this that, listen to me, a conflict for them. Oh, man, there's false doctrine going on, and now it's working in my heart. Now, how many care about the church? How many are bummed when things go awry or doesn't work out the way it should? How many of it affects you? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul looking at the church saying, you know what, I know that there are false teachers trying to creep in. Can you imagine taking a people group saying, I want to teach them so they start to stand firm in those matters? Paul said this, above all the body injuries he ever experienced, the care of the churches was his greatest weight. When it comes to this word conflict, it means like a force. It means, listen to me, this message is so important that I'm going to give you a warning. Like many of you, Paul cared so much for the church, he said, listen to me, it's so important that you listen. That I have a great conflict. I have something for you, even to the church of Laodicea. Now notice he's speaking to another area. This wasn't the only church that false teachers were entering in. He's speaking this one by name, but how many knows that the enemy's still at work today? I've seen a lot of people get tripped up with some goofy teaching. Come on. I've seen whole congregations go headlong after an area and then soon they find out, man, that wasn't the truth. Say amen. Let me say this to you. I've seen people open their bank accounts and empty every cent for a preacher saying, if you get in this offering, God will bring 100-fold back. Don't give under compulsion. Are you with me? If the Lord wants you to do that, he'll speak to you first. He may confirm it through a brother or sister, but how many of us that's got to be the Lord? Otherwise, you're giving under a pretense that's false. Say amen. How many knows those ministers, those pastors, those teachers, those evangelists will be held accountable for that area? Come on. Notice when he speaks to the church, he's also speaking to the neighboring church. They're in the same situation. Dare I say, across this world, we have to be on guard for those things. Now notice it says here in verse 1 that many have not seen his face in the flesh. There are some people that knew him. He had made a traveling circuit. Many knew who he was. But there are times that when he came to a church or he began to write a letter to a church, they haven't quite met him. But he says, listen to me, though if you haven't met me, it still is irrelevant. I'm still bringing the word to you. Come on. How many knows that the Lord's still the Spirit? And he can send his word. Come on. How many knows that even though he isn't there physically, the teaching still needs to go on. Many times if I don't see it, I won't believe it. Jesus, blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. Look at verse 2. That your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Notice that our hearts may be comforted. It's the purpose for his conflict. He's saying, I want to see this change. That your hearts may be knit together. I mean, is it when the church comes together like this, it's powerful. Now, I know that if you were able to come today at the pray at the city, you would. I understand that. But we're still representing one another. True? I mean, as you can still pray for where you're at. There's still concern there. There's no condemnation. When you're knit together, how many knows that makes a strong army? The apostle's saying, listen to me, that your hearts may be knit together. That's my goal. I want this to be that your hearts stay in that position, that nothing will take that apart. The verb calls to this. It means to call upon, then to admonish. He's saying to me, I want to entreat this area. The dangers of false teachers are all over. It also brings a misfortune to the church. It's an affliction on the body of Christ. Man, if the enemy can see that little area, he can bring a whole lot of havoc. The Apostle Paul has discerned this is what's going on, and now I'm going to speak into it. But you're already starting to knit yourself together. Don't let anyone separate that. Let me say this to you. Don't let anybody separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let anyone drive a wedge between you and another brother or another sister. How many knows he divides and conquers? He looks for that area. He's saying, listen to me, you're knit together. Your hearts are knit together. Knit together in love. Somebody say in love. How many knows that's the greatest way to be knit together? Because that bond you can't break. When you truly love them, how many knows love endures? Love suffers long. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's how we're supposed to be with one another. Now, love still says no. Say amen. There's still balance in those things. But if we're knit together in love, you know what? It doesn't matter who it is. All right? You're not coming against that. Ronnie, come up here a second. I'm only picking on him because he's on the front row. Now, if me and Ron are brothers, and we are, and we're knit together in love, it doesn't matter what you say, you're not coming between us. That's right. We may hear what you said, but it ain't changing anything. I mean, that's the way we need to be. Amen. It's when we're immature in those areas, we get emotional, and then we start to contemplate, we start to ponder those things. Oh yeah, he doesn't love me. Oh, you're absolutely right. That's so true. Oh, you know what? And how many of us, it makes the division wider. We need to be knit together in those areas. Well, I don't do knitting, but I've seen knitting. How many of us, there's a weaving involved? And it's not one strand either. When you start to knit that together, that means it can last even though it's pulled upon. Hallelujah. I want to be that way, don't you? Then we have to strive for that. We have to strive for that. That means also, I'm going to defend that too. Because it doesn't matter at this moment whether you're right or wrong. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? We need to recognize those things. When you become more mature, now, you're all older in this room. I know the young people are doing other things. Your love now is more mature than when you were 16 years old. Say amen. What you thought you all knew at 14, you know a whole lot more at 40. Say amen. If you could back a few things up, you may have made a few different decisions now, back then. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The truth is that you got a little smarter. We also need to mature in faith. Sometimes people think that just because they've been saved a long time means they're mature. That doesn't mean it at all. You have to grow in the grace and knowledge. We have to grow in those things. Or you just added years to what your salvation is. Say amen. How we want to be knit together in love. When you're knit together in love, you're unstoppable. That means no one can come against you. If you're taking notes, Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbear one another in love, keeping the unity of faith. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, that the whole body fitly joins together. It compacts every area, and it builds itself up in love. It's the mode of comfort that Paul is speaking to him. He's saying, listen to me, I love you, Church of Colossae, just like the Laodiceans. I love them. Now I'm speaking to you out of that. He isn't trying to condemn them. He's trying to warn them and say, hey, there's false teachers among us. That we need to be mindful of those things. That how we do that, you know, we start to grow up in those things. We start to have that union with it. That brotherly love becomes that essential element. And when you're knit together, how many knows that you're not divided? It took work to knit together with somebody else. It just didn't happen, presto, here it is. No, it was by your will, I'm going to say, you know what, you are my brother and sister. You choose to say, you know what, I'm not going to bring a division here. In the church, you got to be thick-skinned. Because believe me, somebody will offend you. It will come. But you don't have to bite that and eat that. Say amen. How many knows you get filled with the Spirit and go, you know what? Ooh, that didn't feel very good, but praise the Lord. Say amen. If you get anointed enough, it doesn't sting. The flame goes out quickly. Oh. Anytime there's unity, the enemy hates it and he'll try to stop it. Verse 2. It says this, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I know that we need to have that full assurance, that understanding. It's like this. It's like formally and completely understand the mystery of Christ. How many want to understand what God has done? How many is coming as a babe, dying on the cross? All those things that were revealed by the Spirit, we can know. We can know those mysteries that Christ says, listen to me, to the world, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But to us, it's the power of God unto salvation. And if you're saved, think about how brilliant that is. The smartest thing you can do is get your life right with God. The smartest thing you can have is that revelation. Because you could be the smartest on this planet and still miss it and go to hell. But God says, listen to me, I'm going to you to know these things. Love positions you to receive more. That you have a full conviction about your Lord. If you're taking notes, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. Hebrews 5 verse 11. Hebrews 10 verse 22. It says, draw near with God with a full heart, with full assurance of faith. Your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. And you know what, let me speak about that for a minute. Once you get saved, the enemy is going to try to remind you of your past or how bad you were. To try to make you feel like you're inadequate to receive what this is. But God said, listen to me, it wasn't predicated on what you did, it's predicated on what he did. Amen. That he says, I'm going to forgive you even though you've done all this. You've been red deep in it, I'm going to make you white as snow. Your payment was this, I'm going to pay it all, you're going to walk free. How many think that's a great deal? Amen. Getting your life right is the smartest thing you could ever do. Yep. But sometimes we have that conscience that we have to, listen to me, clean up. Now the enemy wants to shear it off. That's why some people can shoot somebody and go eat breakfast. Their conscience is sheared off. They've continued in that sin so long they don't even care anymore. But we need to have that conscience working. Come on. How many want to have a clear conscience? My goal when I lay my head down at night is I have a clear conscience between God and man. Yeah. Lord, I want to have that. Not that everything's perfect every. No, I want to have that, Lord. Yeah. With that, listen to me. I want that sprinkled with blood. When the enemy tries to remind me of past things or past failures, and isn't it amazing? The enemy's pretty good at picking up your past failures. Listen to me, if we're knit together in love, how many of us that needs to be under the blood too? Amen. And if you get personal information about a brother and sister, it needs to die with you. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 3. In whom are hid, somebody say hid, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The practical wisdom that every Christian needs, that mystery being revealed, notice that it's hid in Christ. It's in Jesus. In the Godhead, every mystery can be made known. If people think they're going to grow in their faith without the Christ, you're wrong. If you think you're going to get to heaven without Jesus Christ, you're wrong. In him is hidden all these things. Colossians 1:19, it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell. Notice that we need to draw from this treasure, which is hidden in him. Now, if it's hidden in him, I need to get with him. Paul's trying to give him encouragement. Listen to me. To come against false teachers, know who Jesus is.
Know who he is. When you start to know him, you start to grow in him. And what he's saying is, listen to me, you need to know about the death, the burial, the resurrection. You need to know about the birth. You need to know about the Holy Spirit. These practical things need to work in us. Sometimes we go like this, well, I'm just living by faith. You need to have some knowledge with that faith. I said, you need to have some knowledge with that faith. Yes, I believe in walking in faith, but you got to be smart too in Scripture. That's good. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. When I draw on him, when I draw close to him, you know what? Every mystery is made known. And how many things has the Lord revealed to you when you're alone, intimate with him? The things that he tells you, he loves you and he cares for you. Now, hear me on this. Personal revelation may not be corporate revelation. There may be some things the Lord will share with you because it's you, because he loves you and you're his kid. I can't build doctrine on that. But when the Word of God speaks to all of us, we can build on that. How many understand that? That's why if the Lord shows you something, listen to me, if it's not for the whole body, praise the Lord. But don't get fruity either and think you're the only one that gets the revelation. I've seen people do this. Well, only the Lord speaks to me. Well, man, the rest of us must be bozos. Amen? I've been in church long enough to know that I've been in services where this person, and I'm not saying anybody in here, a platform individual would show up late every week and walk down the aisle, so the service had to wait for this person to get there to start service. And about the second week at this church, I said to the pastor, I was new, I go, that's out of order. She's drawing attention to herself and not Christ. I said, how about this next week? Service starts at this time. We start there whether that position is filled or not. Guess what happened next week? Service was already going, baby. None of us are that important. Say amen. It's the King of Kings. If we draw attention to self, self is in the way. Oh. Look at verse 4. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He's saying, this I say, the dangers of false teachers, I cannot be silent. We need to know about the new birth. God became man. He was born of a virgin, Matthew 1:23. We must understand these mysteries more clear, more distinct, even just like line upon line. There's great knowledge and strong faith. It makes the soul rich. When the soul prospers, we're filled with joy and peace. But I need to know him. I need to walk in those areas. Christ is the hidden of every wisdom and treasure. But if the word isn't working in us, what is? I have enough flesh along. My flesh needs to die that my spirit may rise and live. Now, obviously I'm in the flesh, right? You see me here. But the words that I'm speaking are spirit in their life. Notice it says this, verse 4. Lest any man should beguile you. In King James, it's like this. The verb means, hey, you're a hearer of the word, but don't be deceived and not be a doer of it also. You start to hear and you do. It denotes a wandering. That beguilement means a violation, a miscalculation. It means deceived through a false argument. Paul's saying, listen to me. We're knit together. You're growing in love. You're learning the mystery. But don't let anybody beguile you, misdirect you by enticing words. That means a strong argument with convincing facts. It'd be like, huh. Even Satan went to Jesus. Cast yourself down from that pinnacle up there, that high point of the temple. The angels will give charge over you lest you dash your foot against the stone. That is actually scripture. But he was tempting Jesus against his own life and not trust the Father. And Jesus said, it is written. He recognized the Spirit. Now, if you're not keen to the Word of God, notice the highest form of deception is a twisted Word of God. You have to base it on his character too. You have to have line upon line. You have to understand those things. Adam already fell long before this. Which one of you could handle seeing all the kingdoms of the world and its power and its glory to be given to you? And Jesus didn't even refute it. We fell way before then. How many temptations have we just succumbed to, and it wasn't even close to that? Everybody say amen. Amen. Lord, help us. He said, don't let anyone beguile you through a strong argument with enticing words. That means you're drawn in. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't see that before. Paul's saying, listen to me, you need to have your faith in Christ. Somebody who's skillful in speech may try to convince you or persuade you otherwise. This is good teaching. Satan spoils the soul through deceit. He deceives them, then tries to slay them. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest any of you be beguiled by the serpent, even Eve, through its subtlety, that your mind be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Listen, if he couldn't ruin us, he definitely tries to cheat us. And if since he cheats us, he ruins us. We can't just blame him either. Our own faults and our own weaknesses fill right in there. How many want to be able to stand strong when you're tempted in these areas? Now, we've all been tempted in here, true? How many ever failed once? Twice? Half a dozen times? How many still have some areas that you need to get right? How many of the Lord can help you? This process of purifying continues. But Paul's looking at the church saying, listen to me, don't let somebody come in crafty. They're going to come in that way. They're not going to come in like a roaring lion sometimes. It could be like a lamb. It could be like somebody just, hey, that's charismatic in their areas. It could be somebody like, hey, I've seen this even at an altar. I've seen guys make moves on girls like, you know what? Oh, you're real beautiful. No one's like you, man. I appreciate how you worship the Lord. How'd you like to go up to coffee afterwards? I mean, sometimes flattery will open up our heart and go down a wrong road. Amen? His ultimate goal is to take you out of the kingdom. Proverbs 1 verse 10 says this, my son, if sinners enticed you, don't go with them. Don't consent. Come on, don't consent. Many lives have been ruined by flattery. Romans 16 verse 18, they serve not our Lord, but their own belly. By their good words and their fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul's bringing this warning to the church. Listen to me, if they come in, they sound all that, they sound great, they're the best orator ever. If they're trying to deceive, they're pulling you away from the truth of the gospel. It is simple, isn't it? Jesus died for you. That's pretty simple. But sometimes we take that way over here and say, well, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. I have that in my own family. It can't be that easy. Well, it is that easy. Accept what he did by faith. Sometimes we think if we have to run 60 miles, run up a mountain. I believe sometimes people would do that more than just believe by faith. Are you enjoying this? Verse 5, though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. You're steadfast in Christ. He says, I may be absent physically, but I'm there in spirit. Communion of the saints is a spiritual thing. We need to be more steadfast. He says, listen to me, just because you're receiving this letter doesn't mean that I'm not putting the approval on it, nor the Holy Ghost is lacking. I want us to get back in the church, the anointing coming from the pulpit that makes a difference. Too many people have been bottle fed so long they can't handle strong meat. And what happens is that if you give a steak to a baby, what happens? That's right. Even if you cut it in smaller pieces, they still can't handle chunks yet. True? So the truth is that, Lord, help us. We need to mature. Paul's saying, listen to me, if you're mature, church, you're knit together in love, you'll hear this doctrine and you won't be easily moved. You'll start to stand firm in these areas. He's admonishing them. In fact, he's warning them with a heart that's heavy. Don't listen to that stuff. When Paul's saying, I speak the truth in love, he meant it. Amen? The more steadfast our faith in Christ is, the better our order of our lives be. And so will our whole conversation. We'll walk and we'll live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Let's look at verse 6. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. I mean, as you receive Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. I'm going to come against all those who say you're once saved, always saved. If you're saved, you walk in him. It's a present condition, not a past condition. It's always in the now. It's always faith is now. Just because you may have an encounter with him doesn't mean you know him. Are you hearing this? Just because you may got an autograph from somebody, you got a picture, doesn't mean you know them. It's amazing how we relate ourselves to an image saying, yeah, I know them. Really? Do you know them? That means to be intimate in that area. No, I want to know my Lord Jesus. I want to walk in his ways. Amen. In Ephesians 4, verse 20, as you've received, listen to me, you've not so learned in Christ. I want you to know that anything outside the gospel, you haven't learned in him. If you're taking notes, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, we thank my God upon your receiving of your faith. We cease not to pray for you. Hallelujah. That you receive the word of God, not as the word of men, but the word of God. Literally, to walk in Christ means this, that Jesus is the sum, the substance of all teaching. As a Christian, we have an obligation to walk in him. That means stand first. It's like the element of life, then walk. That means we have an agreement. There's internal and external. It's a mode of conduct in our life. It's like this, I'm standing in faith in Christ. Now I'm walking with him and in him. Internally as well as externally. Paul's saying, how can you lose in that measure? Who can deceive you then? When you walk with Christ, I want you to let include your conduct. When you leave here, it includes your conduct. Amen? Here's the problem with those who come in with false teaching. You only hear them when you see them. But you don't know them out there. Because, see, that's the part of the enemy's deception. He's trying to take you away from what's solid. Isn't it amazing that the enemy always comes to the camp? We need to recognize that. He always comes to the camp. Because he wants to, listen to me, deceive the righteous. He wants to snatch away. He wants to trip people up. He wants to mess people. And I've seen some people get pretty messed up. Even doctrinally, get all messed up and start to believe all kinds of goofy stuff. The faith they once preached, they come against what they now they're even living it. But the enemy, Lord God, just change that. Whatever he's beguiled, whatever he's misrepresented, Lord, change that area. How many of those the Lord's still able to straighten out? Sometimes you got to hit rock bottom before you look up. Amen. Are you enjoying tonight? Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That rooted and built up, it's the present. It's a continuing state. It's the process of becoming. It's a progressive development. That's what God wants for us. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 18. All these areas are built upon the apostles and prophets. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. He said, listen to me, I'm going to come against those teachers, and here's how you're going to do it too. Are they built upon the apostles and prophets? And Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. You don't even know who these guys are. You don't even know who these men and women, who where they stand. He's making a guarantee it's definitely not with him. Can you see if you understand those principles, you can start to discern, hey, who are these people? How many of us, we need discernment in the last days? He comes like an angel of light to deceive the very elect. But man, if your life is built upon the word of God,
the apostles and prophets. You're understanding the word. You're in that word. You know what? Who can take you away from it? It'd be like me and Ronnie get together, and both of us had this happen to both of us. Somebody said something about Ron, and I'm like, no, you're wrong. I know who he is. Same way with me and Ron. No, I know who he is. How many of us, that ends the situation? Can you see the Apostle Paul saying, use me, I want that from you, church, Colossae, you Laodiceans. It'd be nice to have that assurance that no matter what, they're going to be strong. But he had concerns because he knows that immaturity will go headlong in another direction. When you're in Christ, you're obligated to walk like Christians. And I'm talking about real Christians. I've heard a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. There's a difference in just saying it and living it. Yeah. We have to have stable growth. Our foundation needs to be strong. Jesus is that corner in which we line up to. Notice it says rooted and built up, established in the... Somebody say faith. That means the ground we lie. Hallelujah. It denotes progression and development. It's fortified our faith. It's like appropriating our faith. It's like, as you've been taught, notice that this isn't the first time he's brought in teaching to them. He shared other letters from the church of Colossae to the church of Ephesians to the church of Thessalonica. They was like they circulated those letters through all the churches. It was up to the ministers to bring that word to the people that they could understand that. How many of us, we got a greater printing press than they had back then? I thank God I got my own Bible. Amen? I thank God there's running water. Now, when our power goes out, we lose all our water, all our sewer. How many have, like, all that shuts down? Well, we have that. We have well water, we have well pumps, grind pumps, all that junk. And it's amazing how quick you can go back to the basics. Right back to, like, well, this is it, amen? My wife broke out a bunch of candles. Our power went out the other day, and there's candles on the table. How many of us, it doesn't change your life, true? It may be an inconvenience, but man, how many of us said God's still Lord? Amen. Verse 7. It says, abounding with thanksgiving. That means abounding more and more. Become established and enlarged in the measure of our faith. It starts to bring joy when you know you're Jesus. I mean, as you can abound more and more in those things, God can be speaking to you, bringing revelation to you, and that's a happy thing. I like it that this is not my permanent home. It's nice. There's some nice things to see, but one day, man, God wants us to be with him. I mean, that's a great place to go. We'll occupy while we're here, but we're still just ambassadors. Philippians 1 verse 9, I pray this, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. When I look at Jesus, he wants us to grow in that grace. He's speaking that victory and saying, listen to me, all of you. Romans 15 verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. How many are happy in him? How many have found that serving him over the years have brought in some joy to your life? Yes. True? You ever notice there's still highs and lows? There's still valleys you got to walk through, and there's still mountaintop peaks. But I thank God that it's if you're in the valley, you don't have to stay there. You can get out of that area. Amen? You can mature in those things. If there's a dry season in your life, it's only the well's going deeper, finding new water. You don't have to be barren. If the Lord takes you on top of the mountain and all your feathers get plucked out and you can't fly and you're totally relying on somebody else to help you, they'll regrow. Hallelujah. How many of the Lord's able to take care of? Amen. Like I shared a while ago, I watched a documentary about a bird that was molting, they called it. And an eagle went on the highest peak of a mountain that it could fly to. And every feather was plucked off. And I swear, the bird looked like a most pathetic, ugly, helpless thing ever. And they mounted a camera for progression, and they'd have other eagles that would come and drop food for this one and feed it while it was in its most vulnerable state, higher than any enemy could ever get to.
only somebody of like passion and faith could reach him. And little by little, they did a time lapse that the feathers began to grow again. It began to be strengthened. And when the full bloomage, I think that's what you call it, was there, it was stronger and better and more beautiful than when it went up there the first time. And the cycle was, whatever bird had to go through this, the other ones would take care of it. I mean, sometimes we need to take care of one another like that. Amen. Sometimes it may be a family member. It may be, listen to me, if we're knit together in love, we don't mind the extra effort to go and help. Yes. It always has some requirement to it. It's going to be an inconvenience, but it will matter in the long run, true? Paul's saying, listen to me, you're knit together in love. I want you to mature in those things. Everything you need is in Christ. Every mystery is hid in him. Get in him. Walk in him. If somebody comes into church with enticing words of men's wisdom, don't follow that area. They look all charismatic. They're all that. They're beautiful. They're handsome, whatever. Don't follow that. Because you've been taught different. That would have brought the Apostle Paul great joy. Could you imagine if the whole congregation says, you know what? We recognize the false teachers here, Paul. Thank you. How many think that would have brought him some great comfort? I don't know how many times. There's a few times in Scripture where I see that he received something back, but I bet he had a tough road caring for all the churches. Because when you get to the Corinthian church, they had all the gifts, but they were a mess in other areas. They were doing all kinds of goofy stuff. I want us to be a church that's solid in the Word. This is not popular here. This is not popular teaching here because it requires effort on both parts. It isn't like just be warm and filled. Bless you today. Do whatever you like. Amen. Hope to see you next week. Praise the Lord. I mean, it was just more than that. It's like, Lord, in grace and knowledge and comfort, we're knit together. We're loving on one another. But we have to recognize when false teachers arise, even false words. How many here have ever, like, held on to a word that wasn't true? How many of you have ever been depressed before? How many of you ever had a little self-pity party? The only one that came was you. How long did it take to get out of that? How many of you ever felt like, you know what, I deserve more than this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. If they knew who I was, they wouldn't be treating me that way. I mean, you can spin it all kinds of ways. But, you know, if you're walking humble, you know what? There's not far to fall. And the greatest gifts are always on the bottom shelf. That's why Jesus said, if you want to be greatest, learn to be a servant of all. And then he takes off his outer garment. He gets a bucket of water. And unannounced, he washes their feet. Sometimes I really weep at this in my heart. I wonder, after the resurrection, when they were filled with the Spirit, they realized God himself washed my feet. Yeah. How much more should I do it for mankind? Are you with me? When you realize that's the Lord, and you know what? He didn't think it was something that like, hey, I will do this. It's not like I'm pitying you. No, I'm serving you. He's looking, giving us self-worth. When somebody comes in with a lot of words, a lot of flattery, there's usually a lot of deceit. For when many words are spoken, sin is not absent. The Lord help us to guard our hearts, amen? To guard our minds. When you start to know Jesus, is he Lord? Yes or no? Yes. Was he born of a virgin? Yes or no? Did he die on a cross? Yes or no? Did he give of his Holy Spirit? Yes or no? When you know these things, you can start to detect, I'm walking in him, I'm living in him, I'm moving in him. You know what? I don't know what that is. Ladies, I'll pick on you for a minute. You're all single. I know you're married. You're all single. You're looking for a great man in your life. Somebody comes in all handsome, carrying himself well, charismatic in nature, flatters you up, and oh man, you're the most beautiful thing I've seen today. Bless God. You're awesome. I saw you up there worshiping. Man, it's just incredible. Man, I'd like to get to know you. How many think those words will open the heart?
What if that's the enemy right there knocking? Because see, sometimes the enemy will look at our weaknesses and hit on that to bring the door open. That's why Jesus said he has to leave me because he can't find nothing in me. When Adam and Eve fell, Satan appealed unto them and got them off track, and they fell, like every person after that. But Lord, I want to be strong in these things. The apostle's saying, listen to me, I care for you, church, so much I'm like in agony. Not that he was boo-hooing, but he had that strong sense of urgency. Look, church, you need to grow. We need to be hooked up with Jesus because everything you want is in him. We live in him and move and have our being. If you're in Jesus, you know what? You don't end up a mess. Come on, you don't end up a mess. Can you see the importance of it even now, church? I've seen on the airways on TV, there are some people that need to be off the air. I've seen some crazy stuff. Like, that's not even God on any level. But yet we still, Lord, help us. Let us mature. Amen? And be cautious here. If the Lord's asking you to move to New Zealand, he's going to speak it to you first, then confirm it through somebody else. Don't move like this. You know what? New Zealand for you. Jesus' name, amen. Come on, God will speak to you as an individual. He may confirm it through a brother, but too many times we're taking that weight of the word and making decisions based on somebody you don't even know that doesn't even have your best interest in mind. Paul's looking at the church, I have your best interest in mind. I don't know about them. Is this good tonight? Yeah. All of us need to be on guard in those things. Come on, you have a brain. You walk by faith, but you got to have a little bit of wisdom too. Say amen. God don't want you to be an infant. It's great when they're little. It's great when they're, but they got to grow up. If I look at the church as a whole, how mature is the body? Then Lord, help it. Amen? Jesus is not marrying an infant. He's marrying a bride. Hallelujah? And the bride has made herself ready. Somehow God's going to pull this all together in the last days. Sometimes I marvel on how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. He's going to bring this earth under subjection again. He will. Revelation says it. Then Lord, I want to be submitted unto you. We see every sign today that his approaching is near. And if you see more than ever, I see the love of many growing cold right now. I really do. People who once had a passion, like, yeah, I got other things now. Yeah, it's my only time off. I don't need that. Come on, you let it go cold. Lord, let's stoke that up again. Let's pray for that area. Amen. I believe that God's going to work on hearts. Can we pray, church, for that? Amen. How about this? Can we be more knit together in love than ever? Amen. Amen? Then I want to make sure I'm knit together there. Amen? Amen. Tied in there. Bless God. Nothing's coming between us. Amen. We're knit together. Amen. You can pull on the strands all you want. All you're going to do is stretch it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to be like Gumby. I'm going to spring back to my normal position. Amen? What can defeat us? Nothing. What can separate us? Nothing. Paul said, listen to me, love will do that for you. Now, in this church, we also need to recognize if a word's spoken and it's for the future, we can't discount it all, but sometimes you have to shelf it to see if those things will come to pass. Amen? If somebody misses it and they get in the flesh, we don't just kick that person out. We look at it and say, you know what, brother, sister, you kind of missed it there. That they themselves can check themselves. You know what, I got in the flesh there. Amen? The problem is when they won't listen to correction. When it violates the word, then you have another level it goes to. I pray that we don't have that. Now, in this church, we have some solid folks. I don't like spooky stuff. I don't like bottle rocket Christianity. Woo, boom, you're gone. No, I want stable and solid. The only way it builds. Well, you're here tonight because you care about your spiritual life. That means you know what? You care about those things. You will grow in Christ. Even the word today will not return void. Hallelujah.
Did anybody have a full plate today? I'll stop there. Amen. We're going to continue in this as the Lord enables us. Hallelujah. How many are more in love with Him than ever? How many are growing more in that area? How many are looking at the power of unity as being important in the church? How many are recognizing that we can start to detect false teachers? The word using of flattery, that enticing words of men's wisdom. But in this church, I want the demonstration to be of His Spirit and power. Hallelujah! How many want more power to be released than ever before? Pat Vest sent us a little note here, and when she's having a great day, she lets us know, saying, "Pastor Lynn, I had a great day today. Lord, touch her, amen. I want to see her walk and push that walker. Like anyone in here that has a struggle, I want to see that change." Church, let's be mindful to bombard heaven in that. She loves the Lord, and I was talking to her husband, Barry. And she said, one of the things is that Pat has such a great demeanor to her that sometimes I can't, I know physically she's struggling, but you can't tell any other area because the joy is there, the her strength and her spirit's there, but her body's what's failing. Well, I'm going to pray that your body lines up with the rest of what's going on. Hallelujah. How many of you believe with me there? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Pat Vest. We curse that MS. Lord, reverse the symptoms. Lord, strength to her legs again in Jesus' name. Every nerve ending to, Lord, come together. Lord, the brain, Lord God, communicating with the body, Lord, to be true and whole. Satan, you have no hold over her life. In the name of Jesus, we speak a healing word. Send your word and heal. Bring a touch upon, Lord God. Upon your servant, Lord, she loves you with all her heart. Lord, she serves you with a passion. Lord, in your mercy and grace, touch now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, help us, Lord God, to be knit together in love. Lord, keep in Jesus our chief cornerstone, walking in Him, living in Him, moving in Him. Lord, help us to detect, Lord, when there's false teachers bring in enticing words. That, Lord, we're quick to detect that. That, Lord, we won't look at their outward countenance. But, Lord, we'll look for fruit of true Christianity. Jesus, today we surrender to you and we thank you for your word. And, Lord, like the Apostle Paul that was so concerned for the church, Lord, let us have that concern too. That, Lord, nothing to enter in and cause harm. Nothing to bring disunity, disloyalty. But help us to walk together firm and strong. And Lord, we come against any division, even in our thought life, Lord God. Any wedge the enemy tries to pour in. Lord, we're knit together, Lord. Help us to be strong. As it were, thick skin, Lord God. To come against any offenses. Because we're truly brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we choose to walk in that tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, thank you for your time tonight. Amen. What is that, brother? Yeah, I'll get that. Yeah. So God bless you all. You have a great evening. And greet one another before you say goodnight. We'll talk to you soon.